Hi, ladies. How are you doing? Okay. I've got about 4 hours worth of material, but I can guarantee I won't get through it all. So I'm just going to jump right in, okay? I feel like I have a message for you all, and I struggled with the message, but it's something that we need to hear. What we're going to talk about and discuss tonight is dealing with overcoming offenses. Okay? Now, let's be honest, ladies. We have a tendency to have a little bit more difficult time dealing with offenses than our male counterparts, don't we? Let's be honest. Okay. Okay, then your son does, maybe. Okay? That's because we're made different than the men. And Satan knows what a powerful force we are when we're unified. And guess what? One of the things happens when there's offense. There's division. So that's Satan's tactic to divide us and to keep us from feeling the purposes of God. But God's calling us to a higher level. I don't know about you all, but every time I hear a message, it just resonates in my spirit. God's got something out there big for this body of believers. And in order for us to do that, we're going to have to grow up and get over some of the things that have a tendency to divide us, so that we can be linking arms instead of fighting each other. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit told me that as I speak tonight, He's going to be dropping names into your spirit for some of you. Those names are names of people that you either need to forgive or release. There's some of you are dealing with some broken relationships. Relationships have been severed and bitterness has built up. And God or the Holy Spirit is going to be giving you strategies and plans so that you can fix those broken relationships. There may even be some of you that before you even leave this sanctuary, there's amends you need to make with another person. You see, guys, being called to a higher level with God is not just for our own betterment. You see, the world is watching us. They're wanting to see a difference in us. But when they look at us and they see the same drama in our lives and the people around us that they see in their own life, why do they want to come our way? I was crying out to God this past weekend, and I said, God, why does the world reject Jesus? He is so good. And you know what question he asked me? Is the world rejecting Jesus, or is the world rejecting the Jesus they see in the church and they see in you? Ow. So, guys, I'm sorry this is going to be a hard message, so I'm just going to deliver it. I hope you checked your rocks at the door. Okay, so as we said before, offense annihilates peace and unity, it kills relationships, and it creates bitterness. But that's not what God has called us to. those of you who know me know that I use a tremendous amount of word. So we're going to be flipping through them Bibles tonight, okay? The first one scripture we're going to be looking at is Ephesians 4. Then after we look at Ephesians 4, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 13. Okay? And in Ephesians 4, I'll just give a lead in. This is titled, Walk in Unity. Okay? Are we ready for Ephesians 4? It says then, now this is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So he's calling us to walk worthy of the calling of which we've been called. Then he proceeds to tell us how we do that. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I have a tendency when I don't really understand something, I go back and I start looking up words. So I saw the word bearing. What does bearing really mean? You think it's, you think you know? But I look it up just to make sure I've got it. Bearing means the manner in which one conducts or carries oneself, including postures or gestures. So let's restate this a different way. Bearing with one another in love could read, we are to conduct and carry ourselves when we deal with each other in love. Okay, so let's look at the definition of love, but let's not look it up in the dictionary. Let's get the truth of it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to start at verse 4, and that's going to tell us exactly what love is. And this is how we're supposed to conduct and carry ourselves when we're dealing with each other and the world. We're going to start at verse 4. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. And think about it, when you're in offense with someone, you want your way, right? It's not seeking its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's the definition of love. And that's how we're to interact with each other and the world. I don't know about you, but for me, I see a big gap from where I am and where I'm supposed to be. Next, let's look at the definition of offense. So we know we got some work to do, don't we? Right? So let's look at what the word offense means. Webster defines it as something that causes a person to be hurt, angry, or upset. Okay? Here's another definition that Miss Laura found in our Sunday school class that I just love. It's called annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult or disregard for oneself or one's standard or principle. It's annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult. So let's look at the word perceived, okay, so that we just get this. One way perceived is explained is if you think something is true by instinct, but not necessarily by fact, you can describe that instinct as perceived. So, let's use it in a sentence. My neighbor's dog barks viciously. So I perceive he is vicious. Do you see where the faulty reasoning is there? Can we get in that dog's mind and figure out why he's barking? He may be barking because he wants attention. It may not be because he's vicious. So it's not based on fact. Do you see? I have no reason to say he's vicious, just he sounds like he's vicious. The truth of the matter is, or the question to ask, could it be based on misunderstanding? Think about it. If offense is a perceived insult, it's not based on truth. It could be Satan's ploy, and it could be totally misunderstanding. Something to think about, isn't it? So just by the definition of offense, most of it is not created in truth, but misunderstanding. First hour down. No, joking. Next thing I want to do is I want to talk about how we're made. Because we're going to talk about how you can keep receiving offense and how you can get rid of offense that you have in your life that's maybe built up to bitterness or resentment. Okay? But first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at how we're made. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And I'm going to volunteer two people to help me out. Miss Laura, Miss Michelle, if you don't mind. I'm going to use an object lesson here, ladies. It's a little bit easier to do it this way. I need one on each side of me. Okay? Okay. Right there is great. Okay. Now, we're three-part. We're a three-part being, okay? We're spirit. Spirit is made perfect. You see me shaking. Spirit made perfect the moment we receive Christ. That's God living in us. We have a body. Our body is what gives us permission to be on this earth. That's why I can be seen by you, because I'm in a body. That's why I see you. You're in a body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So without our body, we can't be here on the earth. Right? Not in this form. Then we have our soulish realm. Now our soul is made up of our mind, how we think, our will, what we choose to do, and our emotions. Unlike the spirit, the soulish man is the one we're sanctifying till the day we die. We're going to be working on this one till we take our last breath, okay? And the reason why we do that, because this is the realm that Satan connects to us through, or tries to, okay? So, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and if you don't mind, stay up here and we'll, I got a little bit further to go. Here we go. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body, there's proof, we're three part in the Bible, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So there in the Bible it is. We're a three-part being. Now, I'm going to show you how you avoid offense. Keep your finger there. And let's flip to Romans 6:16 because we're going to be coming back to a couple verses before that, 1 Thessalonians, okay? You remember how I said I was the body? In front of your body, let's just envision that there's a mirror. Okay? What the world sees is what my world is what my mirror reflects. Okay? Now, whatever I give focus to, I empower. And whatever I empower focuses in my mirror. Just as the Israelites had to make the decision in Joshua 24, as for my house, we will serve the Lord. Moment by moment, we have to make that decision. Okay? So when I make that decision to serve the Lord, I reflect Jesus or my spirit realm, the perfect part of me. Does that make sense? The world sees Jesus in me. They see the fruits of the Spirit. They see the calmness, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the self-control. Now, when I choose to focus on my soulish realm, and I choose to reason my thoughts and weigh them higher than what the spirit realm tells me, when I choose to put my will above what God's telling me to do and rely on how my emotions feel to tell me what to do, I reflect the soulish realm. And when I reflect the soulish realm, that's when the rest of the world sees the same drama that they see in their own lives. So that, my friends, is why we have Christians who have been Christians for a long time that are acting like the rest of the world. So there's another gap. You can go sit down now. Thank you, ladies. Is that making sense to you guys? Okay. So now, let's look at Romans 6:16. We're going to look at how to avoid that offense, knowing that it's coming from the soulish realm, right? Because that's the area that Satan works in, correct? So we're going to look at how we're going to keep from getting offended at people, okay? So Romans 6:16, do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, that you are slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. Just like I said, whomever you focus on, you empower. Okay? Now, the problem is Satan will send us crazy thoughts. And if we choose to receive those crazy thoughts and come into agreement with them and act on them, then we're empowering him to work through us. So let's go to Ephesians 6:13-14. we're going to talk about the armor of God. And I know you've had some really good teachings on the armor of God, but I'm just going to lightly touch on this one. Because this is so critical. We're receiving the lies of Satan. He's bombarding our minds. What are we going to do to keep from acting on it? This is our answers, ladies. Do you want to be free of offense? Here we go. It says here, Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Do you see what piece of armor we're to put on first? Verse 14 again, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. According to Ephesians, the first piece of armor we're to put on is the belt of truth. Now let's look at this. The belt of truth covers this area of your body. It's not just around here, but it covers this area of your body. In this portion of your body lies the organs that are responsible for filtering your body and removing toxins and diseases and helping you to eliminate and remove them from your body. It's also in there is the reproductive organs that can reproduce whatever you have in you. Okay? Now, I asked God, I just had a question. Why was the belt of truth first? And then I did a little bit of research on it. Okay? That's just who I am. Sometimes I get questions going and I just get going. And I said, okay, what makes up the belt of truth then? In my research, Jesus is truth. And there's the Word of God. Because it says in the Word of God, if you abide in my Word and my Word abides in you, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Okay? So, this belt of truth, the reason why you put it on first is because it's used to keep the rest of the armor in place on a Roman soldier. And this is Paul writing this, and he was a Roman. It's critical in securing the armor for the warrior. If our foundation for our lives is not based on truth, we are shaky. Doesn't matter what kind of armor we are wearing, if it's not based on truth, it is not protecting us from our enemy. So we have to put on our belt of truth. We have to filter everything that's coming through our soulish realm through that belt of truth. We have to eliminate and cast down anything that does not line up with the Word or line up with what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. Okay? This is kind of basic Christianity, but it's very critical in us being able to win the battle against Satan. We're to submit ourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from us. You don't just resist the devil. You have to submit yourself to God. And in doing that, we have to choose to filter everything that comes in through our solar stream through that belt of truth. Okay? And that's how we stay free. Let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. I'm trying to give you scriptures to back up what I say. Debbie's opinion doesn't count. What the Word of God says is solid in truth. So 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. It commands us, guys. It says, test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Okay? 2nd hour done. Okay. Is this making sense to everyone? Okay. I'm trying to be very clear and very basic. I had this visual. I'm a very visual person. As a matter of fact, when you tell your stories, I'm probably the one laughing the hardest because I just visualize everything carried out. I see it in live picture with nothing in front of me. But when I was preparing for this, and I had to rewrite it again this morning, it was like I was visioning a man fishing. Okay? So you got this fish swimming in the bottom of the ocean. Everything's looking good and happy. And it looks up. And it sees a worm. You know, I'm not really hungry, but you know what? I might get hungry later on. Yeah, you know, I could go ahead and just get me a nibble of that worm while it's right there, couldn't I? Okay. Goes up there, gets it. Unbeknownst to it, it's on a hook, tied to a fishing pole. So what looked good ends up being his demise. That's how Satan does us. He dangles these worms up here, knowing if we choose to go into agreement or receive what he has for us, then he has a place to work in us and develop strongholds in us. And the way we keep from doing that simply is to run everything through the Word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit what to do. He's our helper, guys. We're not orphans. We're not left out here to fend by ourselves. Jesus has made a way for us. He just needs us to depend on him. So I leave. Okay, let's look at Romans. I want to look at Romans 8. It's one of my favorite chapters in the book. And we're going to we're going to read verse 5. And again, this is just reiterating. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So I'm going to ask you a question. When you get thoughts, do you immediately agree with them? Or do you run them through your belt of truth? Question to you is, do you need to adjust your mirror so that you reflect Jesus? It's not hard, guys. It's not rocket science. It's hard, but it's not rocket science. All we have to do is choose to submit to God's ways. Okay? And I'll just give you an example. Say you're driving down the road and somebody's tailgating you. And you can't stand it when people tailgate you. So they're getting closer and closer and closer, and you can't see their headlights. So you notice they're making a right-hand turn, and they're pulling into a parking lot. And this idea pops in your head. You need to go follow them and give them a piece of your mind. How does that line up with God's word? We're to be long-suffering, patient, kind. No, that doesn't line up with God's word. That must not be from God then. Okay, Holy Spirit. I'll reframe myself. Thank you. You see, what would have happened if you'd acted on that? And you can't tell me you haven't had that thought run through your head before, ladies. Okay. Now, let's find out what the Word has to say about offense. Okay? Let's turn to Proverbs 19:11. And I'm going to be reading that in the Amplified. Are your fingers getting tired yet? 19:11. Proverbs 19:11. We're going to look at what the Word says about offense. You know, we just don't have to receive everything that comes our way. It's a second-by-second choice what we do. We're either choosing to put our mirror on the Spirit and empowering the Spirit to work in us, or we're choosing to put our mirror on our soulish realm and allowing the soulish realm to be seen in us. So let's look at Proverbs 19. And I chose the Amplified because sometimes they're just better when they're longer. Good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger, and it is his honor and glory. It is his honor and glory. It is his honor and glory to overlook a transgression or an offense without seeking revenge and harboring resentment. We got a choice. The word tells us we got a choice, ladies. I like Matthew Henry's commentary. His commentary says, to act as if it never even happened. We have that choice. So we know, ladies, we don't have to receive offense. Right? And we know that we need to subject everything from the soulish realm into our spirit realm so that we get the truth of the matter and we flush everything that doesn't line up with the word. Right? Just kind of recapping. So what do we do about the offenses I am already carrying? Because I can guarantee we're all carrying offenses of some sort, somewhere. You know, it just kind of happens that way. I was sitting right over there getting ready to praise God. And you know what he showed me? I was carrying offense against a basketball player from 25 years ago. It was crazy. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, you are. I said, okay, God, I'm sorry. He said, do you realize, it was Christian Leitner, if y'all know, it was a UK game, and he stepped on a UK player, and I just couldn't stand him since then. Didn't do anything to me personally. Not a thing. Just something I saw on TV, and I picked it up. We can pick up a lot of things on Facebook and TV, guys. We got to be very careful. We got to guard ourselves. And then he said, you know, he was just a young man. Yeah, he was. He probably wasn't, you know, as mature as maybe somebody like my age is. He said, and then God asked me, he said, how many things have you done that the rest of the world has not seen that would embarrass you? I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for judging him. See, it was my perceived thoughts about his motives. Which I can't judge his motives. I can't even judge my own. See, guys? It's funny how those come back and get you, right? So, what do I do with offenses I'm currently carrying? Let's look at Proverbs 26:2. Okay, Proverbs 26:2, it says, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without a cause will not alight. So guys, we cannot have a curse without a cause. And we take on the curse when we choose to agree with the lie. Okay? Excuse me just a second. When we enter an agreement or a covenant, we receive the curse if it's with our soulish realm. If we enter the agreement or covenant in the spirit realm, then we receive a blessing. See, ladies, when we choose to receive the curse. We receive. Or when we receive, choose to receive the agreement of the soul of Shreya, that's when the curse lights. That's when the offense takes root. And when you have offense, it has roots. And those roots include such things as pride and control. Because if someone is in offense, one of the signs is they refuse to believe the truth about the situation. Okay? They look at it as, no one understands my point of view. They shut down. They're not open to receive the truth. Now, strongholds come when we choose to enter agreement or covenant from the soulish realm. A demonic stronghold is anything powerful enough to hold you in its dominion to keep you from receiving God's love and truth. And once a stronghold is established, you provide an open door for the enemy and become exposed to demonic control and oppression in that area of your life. The existence of a stronghold can be recognized because it will be the area of your life in which you consistently have problems and cannot live in victory. Okay? Now, there are steps that we can take to break agreements and break covenants. A covenant would be if you were to get angry with someone and say, I'll never talk to her again. I'll never give her any of my time again. Those are covenants. And those need to be broken to get healing. Okay? So, here's the steps we need to take to break these agreements and covenants that we have made with the soulish realm. And I do have papers up here that have these listed, but I'm going to give them to you now and explain them. First thing we need to do is rebuke. That means to reprimand or restrain. We need to rebuke the lie that we chose to receive or the covenant that we chose to take. Because believe it or not, Satan is the one that put the idea in your head to not talk to her again. That didn't come from God. You run that through the belt of truth, it's not going to tell you. It's going to tell you be long-suffering, forgive. Right? So first thing we need to do is rebuke it. Then we need to renounce it, which means declare that it will no longer will we engage or support it. The next thing we need to do is to tell it to get out and either give the covenant or the person to Jesus, or maybe both. And the last thing we need to do is repent and receive forgiveness. We have to receive the forgiveness, guys. We just don't ask for forgiveness. We vocally say, thank you for forgiving me. This should be done out loud. Because when we speak things out loud, that's for all the spirit worlds to hear. Satan can't read our minds, but he can hear our voices. So this is how it might look if you were doing this. Let's say I had an offense against Leitner, and I'd say, I rebuke you And I prevent you and tell you, you cannot work in my life anymore. I renounce you and declare that I will no longer support the emotions that you tied to Chris Leitner. I then tell it, go out. I don't want you anymore. And Lord, I give you Leitner. Bless him. And may he see your goodness in the land of the living. And Jesus, forgive me because I set myself as Lord and judge over Chris Leitner. And thank you for forgiving me. It doesn't need to be long, just short and sweet. And that's how you break it. The problem is, when we break it, we sometimes have the pain from the wound. Okay? Every time we sin, there's a wound in our soul. We often mistake when we feel the pain of the wound that we haven't been forgiven. Because when I see them, I still have that cringe. I still hurt. Truth is, we forgive when we choose to forgive, not when we feel like we've forgiven them. It's a will choice. It has nothing to do with your emotions. Okay? What we are feeling is the pain of the emotional wound or soul wound. And the second step of this is we need to get that soul wound healed. This is something that is new to me. I'll just share just real quick because I want to spend a little bit of time. We don't have much time left. But I want to spend a little bit of time in prayer. But in my childhood, I was physically, emotionally, and sexually abused by my dad. My mom was a social worker for the state of Kentucky and worked for Child Protective Services and was responsible for removing children out of homes like mine. Can you imagine what I carried with me? The bitterness. Can you imagine the havoc it wreaked not only in my life, but my children's lives and the people that had to deal with me? I had an open, gaping wound. You know what I had to do? I had to take every thought I had, submit it to the belt of truth. I had to cast down every vain imagination. I had to choose to forgive. But not only that, and this has only happened in about the past 6 months, guys. I've lived with this for almost 60 years of my life. There's a very critical step that has been overlooked. And that's the healing of our emotions and the wounds that the damage was done to the emotions. You see, when we look at life, we filter them through our emotions sometimes. That's why we need to put everything to the belt of truth. And when we're filtering through the emotions, we're feeling them through the scars and the wounds that have not been healed. You know, when you get a testimony, when your emotions have been healed, when you can talk about it, it no longer hurts. That's when you've got a testimony. And that's where I want you all to be. I want us to be a testimony church. Are you all ready? Okay. I've got two sheets up here. Laura made a copy. Well, actually, it's on one sheet for you guys. And you all can take a copy of this home. This is something that you can use however many times a day you feel like you need to use to help you with the soul, with the wounds in your soul. Okay? First thing we're going to do, remember, is rebuke. Then we're going to renounce. And then we're going to tell it to get out. And we're going to give the offense, or we're going to give the person to Jesus. Then we're going to repent, and we're going to receive the forgiveness. Okay? So we're going to have quiet time. And if you want to do that, if God has put somebody on your heart, you need to forgive. Let's do that now. I'll give you a few minutes. It doesn't have to be very long, very involved. And then we're going to lead you in a prayer to not only get forgiveness from God, but to also get that wound healed in your soul. Okay? Okay, ladies, we're gonna pray this prayer. Okay. Now, before we move into this prayer, the blood of Jesus gives us forgiveness. But Jesus just didn't die on the cross. He rose from the dead. And that same dunamis power, that resurrection power that raised him from the dead, is what heals the wounds in our souls. We were singing about it. We have rivers of living waters coming out of our spirits. And that river of living waters is designed to heal our souls. So let's apply that living water to our souls. And we're going to pray this out loud. Lord Jesus, I repent for every time I let myself become offended. I ask that you take your blood and totally wash away my sins of offense. I repent for thinking offended thoughts toward and whoever's name. Yeah, whoever you happen to be in mind. And I repent for saying offended words about them. I put your blood on every thought of offense and every offended word I have said or thought about another person. Wash my mind, my heart, and my mouth in your blood. Take away every sinful thought and sinful word with your blood. Heal me of every sin of offense by the power of your blood shed on the cross, and empower me to never become offended again. Lord, I also forgive, and whoever you were praying about, their name, for being offended at me. Wash them of their sins of offense, and cleanse them of that sin so they do not become sick. So we pleaded the blood. Well, I'm just making a comment. We pleaded the blood over it, okay? So now we're going to move on to our emotional wound. Now, Jesus, I ask that you would heal my soul of every wound that was created by my sins of offense. Your blood took care of the sin. And now your dunamis power will heal the wounds that came from my offense. Lord, cause me to be what dunamis means. Excellent of soul. Fill my soul with this power that comes through your resurrection power. I partake of it right now. In Jesus' name. I command every deadly wound that came from my words of slander and offense to be filled with dunamis. Heal me in both my body and soul, Lord. I decree I am excellent of soul. So now cause me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul is prospered. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This was actually Katie Sousa. I would recommend, if this has intrigued you any about the healing of emotional wounds. She's wonderful. A lot of the intercessory prayer warriors have been listening to her, and great revelation. Also, this was abbreviated what I do in my Sunday school class. You all are, if this interests you, more than welcome to come. We meet at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and we were going to be continuing on and going into a little more detail. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer what I can, or we'll get in there and dig and find out some answers for you. But this is an area that's untouched, and I'm really expecting to see some great things happen. Thank you, ladies, very much.
Are the men finished? Yes. Okay.
That was good stuff. Father, I just pray that you would seal what was done here tonight in the hearts and the minds and the soul realm of these ladies, Lord. Let them walk away in freedom, in joy unspeakable, and full of glory. Amen. You are dismissed.
Here's coffee.